Gray Estate of Silsinger. In re Estate of Silsinger. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Your Honor.
Good afternoon.
May it please the court, I'm Robert Brenner. I represent the appellants Marvin Filsinger, Yvonne Kruger, and Gloria Vegas. I've reserved whatever time I have left. Briefly, this is a case which comes up before you on a decision from the county court which said that the claim that my clients filed, which was in Bernice Filsinger's estate, should have been filed in Orville Filsinger's estate. It's very simple on that. That's the whole basis he gave. So, in order to understand that, I'm going to give you a little bit of factual background I think would help. Orville Filsinger died in 2009. And the estate was a start. Orville is the father of my clients, the three clients. Bernice is his second wife, and she died in May of 2015. Orville's estate, by some papers, which we had no notice of, my clients, was closed in February 3rd of 2014. Now, the dates become important a little bit in here. The appellants, my clients, filed a motion to file a late claim in Bernice's estate in September of 15, about 4 months or so after she died.
What was the basis of that the claim was late?
Thank you. The basis was because at that point we were trying to learn what Bernice got out of Orville's estate. Mm-hmm. And about 10 days earlier, before we filed it, we got the agreement, the post-nuptial agreement. Mm-hmm. To which Orville and Bernice had signed back in, I think, 2002. And this was a post-nuptial agreement. And all it dealt with is when you die, how it goes, but when I die, it goes this way. And it had a $1 million cap. Okay, that became the point. So when we filed it, ultimately we had a hearing. And the motion was granted. And which I'm going to announce that one of the main factual ones is the pleadings that were filed, supposed to be filed in Orville's estate, actually didn't get in the filing. Didn't get in the filing. They got in other files. They found it, as my esteemed colleague over here called it, the snafu, was found to be in other files. So counsel couldn't learn what was filed. We have an order, but we have nothing where to come from. What is this?
And this is in Orville's estate.
In Orville's estate. So, upon that basis, it was stipulated and ultimately an order was entered that granted us to file and that the claim we were making was timely filed.
In Bernice's estate.
And so, the next, after some discovery problems, which I will address in a moment, summary judgment motion was made by the appellees on the basic standard summary judgment language out of the law. I want to make several points about it. First, back in 2010, October of 2010, Bernice Filsinger, Robert Rager, and I'm going to give the characters in a minute, and Steve Mattoon had a document signed. Okay, characters to understand everybody in the case. Bernice, being the second wife, knew of the $1 million agreement. Robert Rader was the personal representative of the estate of Orville Filsinger. He is a CPA and a lawyer. Steve Mattoon was the attorney for both Orville's estate and Bernice's estate. So there's all these three people had all the knowledge of what was going on. My clients kept asking, what did Bernice get? What did Bernice get? That's it. Documented in the deposition of Robert Brown. We did not know what happened, but this disclaimer is clear in my mind to announce to everyone that she knew that she had a limitation, because that limitation said she couldn't take this property they call Sunol, S-U-N-O-L, property, because it would go over the $1 million. So she couldn't take that. Well, that becomes important when later on, as the county judge points out, there's a $25,000 note, There's a $60,000 note. There's a $150,000 note. All these things, nobody knows where they go.
So, counsel, why wasn't this resolved in the estate of Orville Filsinger? I mean, that's where those issues with respect to the contract and whether or not she's supposed to distribute or get more than $1 million, isn't that where that's supposed to be resolved?
On February 3rd, 2014, the county judge closed the estate.
After a petition, a formal petition,
or
right,
to, close,
to have
yes.
it resolved. Why wasn't it adjudicated prior to that time? Why are you aren't you collaterally attacking that judgment over in the other estate matter?
No, because we didn't know about it. We didn't know about any of these things. None of this was information in the record. None of it was sent to my clients. They didn't have the documents. They would ask Rauner what was going on. He didn't give it to him. In fact, it's pointed out by the county judge, and I think if you look at transcript 130 and the pages that follow, he's telling where we even were given an inventory that was wrong.
I'm just thinking procedurally, would you have been able to file a petition to vacate the final settlement in Orville's under 25-2001?
There is a provision, Your Honor, under 30 for subsequent administration, which the only thing about that is you have a certain burden to reach.
Okay.
We were trying to figure out, and I'm following, which is what's under the statute 30-2206, and that's important, because 30-2206 is the fraud evasion statute that's in the probate code that says you can go after who got the property. And when you look at the Uniform Probate Code, where we adopted that section right out of it, the comment section says, the theory of this section, liability follows the property. Liability follows the property. And that's where we're at. Because my clients, when they could finally get the agreement to what they thought this agreement was important, they didn't have it. They got it in September of 15. And less than 10 days later, we filed all our motions and everything went after that.
Now, the court didn't address it, but is the postnuptial agreement valid?
The court didn't address it. I think it is under the In re Kopinski case because there's a statute about when it's not in contemplation of divorce, not in contemplation of anything to do with that, then there's a statute, I think it's 30-2316, that says you can make an agreement.
So does 30-24-120, does that give you the authority to go after this in Orville's estate or Bernice's estate?
I believe under 120, last sentence says I can go after it in Bernice. On the basis that, going back to 30-24-107 says that that has the comment of 3-909 that tells you liability goes to the property, and I'm trying to tell you that we go back and we follow right back to who it is. That's the liability of the distributee.
So doesn't 30-24-120 also say that your ability to go back, it starts with unless previously adjudicated in a formal testacy proceeding or a proceeding settling the accounts? Isn't that exactly what happened in the formal proceeding?
No, the formal proceeding, they didn't do any of the adjudication. They didn't, if you read the order, the formal order, it said that all the debts were paid. But in point of fact, we find that $271,000 was never paid.
Right, but you're asking to relitigate that issue that was found already in an order. Isn't that a collateral attack? Hasn't this been resolved through that formal petition and then the court closing that estate?
No, Your Honor, because the liability of the distributee, she got the property, as the judge called it, the benefactor of the improper distribution. And we follow the property, like the law says I'm supposed to under 24-107, says I'm supposed to follow the property when I do it. And the last sentence of 120 that you're reading says that this does not apply in the fraud case.
You didn't plead fraud, though, in connection with her estate, did you?
I believe I did, and even they admit that I have urged fraud all the way through. It's one of the issues in our briefs that we point out that that's the issue we have pursued all along. Because that's what we're after, is we've been going after it. And then two things that I want to look at is Exhibit 23 and Exhibit 33, I'm sorry, and the transcript 130. After the judge issued the order on summary judgment, the judge said that he was astounded, as the court points out. I closed that file, and there's nobody acting like it's closed at all. And that's where I think it's important for the little time I'd like to reserve. Thank you.
Thank you.
May I please support? My name is Paul Hoffmeister. I represent the estate of Bernice Filsinger. Just want to point out a couple facts here before I get into the argument. You talked a little bit about the notice of final settlement. There is Mr. Rauner's affidavit does show the pleadings and the fact that there was an affidavit of mailing notice that Mr. Mattoon sent out to the Mr. Brenner's clients. So the record will show that they were notified of that final hearing on February 3rd of 2014. It's no concealment, nothing's disguised, so forth. The file's there. It's a routine state files. Everything's in there leading up to the final settlement, which the judge entered. With respect to the missed filings issue, true, we went to the first hearing on the claim, on our claim to dismiss it, on the late claim hearing, and the files were messed up. Some of the pleadings were in Bernice's file, and some in Orville's. It was just a mess. We had to stop. The court had to go through the files and get them reorganized and so forth, which caused some problems. But I think for your purposes, you can ignore that. That's a red herring. It has nothing to do with the facts of this particular case. Fraud's not pled. It's not part of the record. The issue in this case, I think, is very simple. Did the county court err in entering the order dismissing the claim? And county court, it's pretty simple, said they should have filed the claim in the Orville Filsinger estate. That's where they needed to challenge whether or not the final order of settlement was correct. That's where the county court would have to interpret the provisions of the will, interpret the provisions of the postnuptial agreement. There are actually two phrases. There's one in the postnuptial agreement, one in the will, which are slightly different, basically say the same thing. That's where you have to go. If you're going to decide the issue in this case, did she in fact inherit more? Is it an enforceable postnuptial? How does the will language affect it? That's all in the Orville Filsinger estate. The fact of the matter here is they just sat on their rights and they did not challenge it at the proper time.
Doesn't 3024.120 allow them to go after the distribution?
Yeah, I think that certainly once you have an adjudication of improper distribution, there's no adjudication of improper distribution. In order to do that, you have to do that in the Orville Filsinger estate. If the court in the Orville Filsinger estate says that she received too much, then absolutely you can go after her. It follows the money. But what we don't have here is anything that happened in the Orville Filsinger estate to establish an improper distribution. Now, can they go back and do that? I don't know. But the fact of the matter is you've got to have some form of improper distribution adjudicated before you can follow it. The other issue, I think, just point out in the record, she inherited, it's in my brief, I think it's about $2 million and some, but the vast majority of that was joint tenancy. The only thing that passed to Bernice Filsinger under the will of Orville Filsinger was a $25,000 note that Bernice's grandson owed to Orville. Everything else was transferred by joint tenancy.
Well, does that matter if the postnuptial agreement is valid?
If it's valid, maybe it doesn't, but that's where you have to go back into my position, go back into Orville Filsinger and determine if it is, in fact, a valid postnuptial agreement. How do you interpret the language? All of those sorts of things, I think, are at issue, and it's just the wrong estate.
What theory did the court determine that under, that it was the wrong estate?
The fact that, well, my opinion is that he would have to interpret the provisions of Orville's will along with that postnuptial agreement in that estate, not in this estate, that he couldn't do it here. He had to do it there.
What is that in legal terms? What is that? improper collateral attack?
I think it's probably improper collateral attack, yeah, something, estoppel, something of that nature. The fact of the matter is they final order was entered. They received notice according to the court file. They didn't do anything about it and so forth. But I'm not sure the judge even went that far. I think the judge just said that this is something that has to be heard in the Bernice Filsinger estate. He didn't address the statute of limitations. There may be a substantial statute of limitations issue here, as I point out in the brief. But again, in my opinion, all of those things have to be litigated in the Orville Filsinger estate. The biggest problem, the reason why you have to do that, is because Mr. Rauner, Mr. Mattoon, neither one are parties. And basically what they're saying here is that Mr. Rauner made a mistake. And therefore, you've got to go back into that where he's a party, where he can be made a party, since he was the PR of that estate, to obtain that ruling of improper distribution. So, and then there's a bunch of other arguments in the brief. I tried to respond to most of them, but frankly, they're irrelevant. I don't think they have anything to do with what the county court did in this case and what this court has to review. It was just filed in the wrong estate. They could have filed a petition to vacate, done something in the Orville Filsinger estate to bring those issues up after the fact.
But so you would acknowledge there is such a thing as a lawsuit by one distributee against another,
yeah,
for an excess distribution.
Right.
Right. That you say that you have to have determination elsewhere that in fact took place or that exists, and then you bring that
right.
corresponding
right.
claim.
And then you can bring your lawsuit against that person to recover those funds. But that didn't happen. And they keep talking in the brief about the fact that there was an improper distribution. That's never been decided. It's never been decided. And to do that, you have to interpret all of these documents, decide if the postnuptial's valid, how does the will language affect it, since it is somewhat similar to the postnuptial language and so forth. Just numerous issues that should have been brought in the Orville Filsinger estate.
So under 3024.120, you brought a motion for summary judgment pursuant to that statute, although you were asking for the time limitation
right.
provisions to
arguments.
Apply. That's what you asked the court
right.
to do here. Instead, the court said, I just think you brought it in the wrong case. You should
yeah.
have brought it in the Warbles estate, correct? I'll ask you the same question I asked counsel. 3024.120 starts with, unless previously adjudicated in a formal testacy proceeding or in a proceeding settling the accounts of a personal representative or otherwise barred. Is that statute actually telling us that if it's been adjudicated in formally through a petition or otherwise, that is an example of when a claim against a distributee is in fact barred?
I think you're right. I think that's what it says.
But was this
adjudicated
claim
in a formal testacy?
But was this claim adjudicated in Orville's estate?
No. Yeah. No, it was never raised. I mean, you've got the entire. I think you have all of the relevant portions of Orville Filsinger's estate file. It was never raised. First time it was raised was in September of 15 when the late claim was filed in Bernice's case.
When they file a petition to formally close that estate and they give the schedule of distribution and the like, is that what's approved? They're approving the amount.
They approve the distribution. I think I quoted in my brief the exact language of the final order that it approves the distribution as set forth in the schedule of distribution, which would have shown the joint tenancy property that would have gone by operation of law, date of death to Bernice, then a $25,000 note distributed to her out of the estate. I think that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
How much time does the appellant have left?
My clients did not get notice of the pleadings that were in the Orville's estate. That's clear. Also, by Rauner's own deposition, Bernice got $1.38 million, not the $1.188, $1.38. And those become important. Thank you.
Right, can I ask one more question before he goes? What is the authority to bring the claim by one distributee against the other? Is it a statute? Is it common law? What are you relying on as it relates to your authority?
30-24-107.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Case is submitted. Counsel is excused.